It is our pleasure to welcome in Brian Roskett. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Marshall. Great to be on the Breakfast Club.
You know, it's funny. Off and on over the past several years, I've run into Brian and always said we should get together and do something. And it took Jill Goodman to finally say, I thought you were going to get together. So I said, I just never done it. And I'm glad we got together finally, because there's so much we try to cover. And I go back to my high school days, where in 1970 and 71, we were advised by our teachers and our advisors to act globally but think locally. And that's something that I've managed to go through my whole life in broadcasting, wherever I've been broadcasting from. Is that it all starts at the local level, and international and national news really affects us here at home, Brian.
Indeed it does, and we're going to have some news today out of Washington, no doubt, from the Supreme Court. They are likely to rule today on whether Donald J. Trump's tax returns should be turned over to either two separate House of Representatives committees or to the district attorney in Manhattan, Cyrus Vance. Those cases argued last month, and the court has indicated rule today. Also coming soon, rulings on abortion and a variety of issues. And then I tell you what I've been troubled mostly by is what's going on at the Justice Department.
Yeah, I try to point this out on my personal page, not on the radio station page, on the personal page, is that this country was really conceived on a separation of powers, and the Justice Department was never intended by the framers of the Constitution to be the president's Justice Department. The president has his own White House attorney, but the Justice Department more and more and more has fallen under the political culture. And this is probably a responsibility of both parties, in my opinion, a way how the executive power has increased over the years. But it has become frighteningly scary in this time with Donald Trump in office.
Certainly has. In the testimony yesterday in Washington of two current prosecutors in the Department of Justice, both saying how political influence was shaping decisions there, one involving the efforts by the Justice Department to get a reduced sentence for Roger Stone, which the prosecutor who was involved in that case said he was told came right from the top, from the fifth floor, which is where the Attorney General is, and that he was told he'd get fired if he didn't go along with the request. And then a second one from, strangely enough, the people who run the Antitrust Division, and the prosecutor there testified that a number of investigations were launched because Donald Trump and William Barr didn't like the underlying industries. One involved the auto industry with a decision to comply with the clean air statutes in California, and another involved the cannabis industry, which apparently both men don't think much of.
I try to tell people it's an amazing time and it's an unprecedented time, is that basically, if it were not for the last off-season presidential election, where the presidential election was put aside and just the House and Senate was decided, we would have a government that basically is absolutely closed out from any public participation.
Yep. Absolutely.
It would have been a Republican Senate, a Republican House, a Republican president, and the final fait accompli would have been that basically the Justice Department would have been working hand in hand with what the president wants, not with what the people wants. Don't you see that, or am I being
no,
alarmist?
No, I think, there always are politics involved, at the highest levels, and of course the Attorney General is part of the president's cabinet, and he has a right to choose who he wants there. But his responsibility is to uphold the law of the country on behalf of the people of the United States, not on behalf of Donald Trump or whoever the president is. Sometimes there's overlap there, and they're, of course, obviously there to argue the position of the administration. But when they start messing around with investigations and prosecutions and sentencing and doing political favor, that's when the whole thing falls apart, I think. Equal justice for all falls apart at that point, when if you're a friend of Donald Trump or a supporter of Donald Trump, you are treated differently or better.
It's so quite apparent to me. Well, with the decision that might come down today, which way do you think that will go with Donald Trump's finances? I mean, the Supreme Court has surprised and pleased a lot of middle of the road or liberal people. Progressive right. people like me are kind of a little happy, but we know that what's coming is the right hand punch after the left hand jab.
Right. people I talk to who follow this closely, including fellow Sharon resident Steve Ramil, who's a professor of constitutional law at American University in Washington, used to cover it for the Wall Street Journal. I was talking with him last night. He expects a split decision that they will deny the tax returns to the House committees investigating Trump, but likely turn them over to the Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance, because that's a criminal investigation that involves Trump and others. And what is the argument that those returns aren't valid to the investigation? There is none, really, except for the argument that the government tried to make that, well, it would be burdensome if every district attorney in the country, 2,400 of them, went after Donald Trump. But only one of them is right now.
It's an interesting time to focus in, and that is an interesting way to look at what a decision might come out. But you know, things, it's almost like the Wild West in Washington. And I'll say this too. I mean, you're someone who was in the media, the national media, for a long, long time. And the national media really is what saved this country during the Watergate crisis. The national media has since then really thinned out the ranks of newspaper reporters, newspaper columnists, people that can really stay on a story. What is your feeling about the way the networks and newspapers are covering all of this?
Well, I think at the high end of the news sort of spectrum, the ones that have the money to do it, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, you're getting really pretty good straight reporting. Absolutely. On the networks, you have a divided sort of on cable news. You've kind of got CNN in the middle, though Trump calls them fake news. MSNBC, which sort of goes for a progressive point of view, Trump really doesn't like them. And even Fox, which Trump now has been criticizing because they came out with a poll showing him way behind Joe Biden, and he went after Fox. You know, they used to be so loyal, no longer are. He's strange. You know, he's concerned about that. You know, the reporters in Washington, take their jobs very seriously. And until Trump's election, the Washington bureaus were getting less and less airtime on the networks because people thought it was sort of boring, and there was an expectation when Hillary Clinton appeared to be poised to win that they would even cut back further in Washington. That all changed with Donald Trump. It gave them a wake-up call, big time.
And it's part of the American media's job, and this is what Donald Trump has done with his base, which scares me, is that he's turned the media with his base, and that's roughly 30 to 32% of the people who vote, into looking at the media as the enemy.
Yeah, enemy of the people. That's he has said that a number of times. And they're not the enemy of the people. First of all, they're just trying to do their jobs. Secondly, there are divided opinions within the media. I mean, certainly the Wall Street Journal editorial page is a strong supporter of President Trump on most issues. Fox News, we know all about them, and even they have been criticized by the president. So, this is a man who is does not like to get criticism, has a very thin skin, and we see it played out all the time.
I'm 67, and I grew up liking to read newspapers, and I love Jimmy Breslin and even certain sports reporters, because they were not anything but people that delved into the topic. And when they delved into the topic, you knew that they didn't come up with this in a day or two. You knew that they've been working on this topic that they're writing on, and they had factual sources. And the stories, even though they were news, almost became books upon themselves. And that's, I guess, what I miss out of the newspaper and news as someone who lived through that earlier stage of journalism.
Well, it was more competitive then, and you didn't have the power of the Internet, which essentially robbed the newspapers of their golden cash cow. All those want ads, which used to be 60 to 70% of a newspaper's income, just disappeared. I mean, we see a little bit in the Lakeville Journal sometimes, but the major newspapers, there are no more want ads. It's Craigslist or it's eBay, and that's a lot of advertising that disappeared. So they've been trying to switch to a subscription theme. People pay higher circulation, higher rates to subscribe to it, and that has helped some. And they've created an online presence, and the big guys are doing that. But it's harder for the smaller newspapers to transition. I know the Lakefield Journal is struggling, and I hate to see that, but they are struggling.
Well, you know, the news business is the post office never sleeps. Well, I look at the news business this way. And also, I think you're right. The news business in general has gotten a wake up call with this administration. And you know, it sounds like we're just talking about something that the Trump supporters say are the Trump deranged syndrome. But no, if you take a step back and you take a look not only at the presidency, you can always have a problem with the presidency. But boy, when your problems look at the presidency and how it interacts with what he did with the generals at that
right.
Horrible, and then you at the Justice Department, and you look at the Senate, which has not passed nearly one tenth of what the Democratic House led House has put together. You look at it all as a whole, and you say, "Is this any way to run a country?"
It doesn't seem like it, and you know, I think the polls are showing that more and more Americans are coming to that conclusion. And what is strange to me is, and I don't know if you saw the poll in the New York Times, Biden had a 14-point lead over Donald Trump, but you know, the election's still many months off. But what you don't see is, I think, is President Trump, this is kind of bewildering me, trying to expand his base. He seems just to be doubling down on a message of against immigration, against so-called law and order. He's going to protect all the Confederate statutes. I don't see how that expands his base and gives him a better shot at winning. I really don't. I've talked to Republican political operatives who agree. They don't quite know what's happening there. And his own worst enemy in many ways, his sort of unrestricted access to all the tweets he sends out on Twitter have only so far really may have energized that 30% as you described, Marshall, but the rest of the country is kind of wondering what is going on here, you know?
Well, we'll find out. And next week, of course, we'll be able to talk about some Supreme Court decisions.
Absolutely. There'll be plenty to talk about.
Instead of looking forward to what might be, we're looking back at what actually happened. Brian, we'll speak to you again next week. And thanks for joining us here at Robinhood Radio. We love to have you on board.
Well, thanks, Marshall. One final plug. Tomorrow night, we're doing with the Sharon Library our Zoom book signing, too, with Mike Isikoff, the great investigative reporter who wrote Russian Roulette, along with David Korn.
Now, that is tomorrow night, and you have another one coming up, right?
In 2 weeks later from Jerry Mitchell, who has covered the civil rights movement in the South for years, in Mississippi, a lone voice there, going into all the cold cases and how they were solved. It's a fascinating book.
All right, and that more information and tickets for that Zoom event at HotchkissLibrary.org, HotchkissLibrary.org. Brian, we'll speak to you again next week. Take care.
Thanks, Marshall. Great to be here.
All right. Brian Ross with us this morning, the initial episode of Real News with Brian Ross on Robinhood Radio. We'll have it up on our podcast site on demand, robinhoodradio.com on demand. You'll click on Real News with Brian Ross.